Have you ever had a situation take place in your life that really it was just kind of a matter of life or death? And you know, maybe even you're a believer, but you have gone to the lengths and you have hit your knees and you have prayed in a way that maybe you had never prayed before. Maybe it was a situation with a child, a spouse, a loved one, mom, dad, somebody along the way. And it was such a, the gravity of the situation was just so huge that you cried out to God, but yet there was still some, you know, some factor of doubt in the back of your mind. Now, as we have been looking at the miracles of the Messiah, one of the great overreaching themes that we see in all these miracles is the compassion of the Master. Today, we're going to take a look at the time when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead out of John chapter 11. So grab your Bible, join us back here in just a moment. Hey folks, I want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is coming along nicely and that God is blessing you in an incredible way. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of John's Gospel, chapter 11. And, you know, we need to open our hearts and our minds to one of what I would call one of the most profound miracles that's recorded in the Bible, and that's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now this event we find in John chapter 11, but it is a classic demonstration of the power of Jesus even over death. But it also does something else. It also reveals his deep compassion as well as the glory of God. Compassion is huge. Now, I want to go ahead and preface this because we have a lot of scripture that we're going to be covering today. But the one thing is that in this text, you're going to find that part or a passage or one of two times where it says that Jesus wept. There was compassion for those who were going through the sorrow, the sisters that were going through the sorrow of losing their brother Lazarus because he was dead. And Jesus knew this. Jesus was feeling the pain that they were feeling, even though it was in his control to do something incredible about it, which he did, as we're going to find out here in just a moment. So as we look into these passages today, let us pray to seek some understanding of the depth of the meaning of this particular text, as well as how it applies to your life and my life today. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 11. Now, like I say, there's a lot of verses. We're actually going to read 44 verses. That's probably one of the longest texts I've used for our Wednesday Bible study. But the reason why is because it incorporates the whole story of Lazarus from the beginning of it all the way up to his resurrection. And we have to see the points, the finer points of this and what Jesus did along the way. Look with me, if you would, John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' And when Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again?' And Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' These things he said, and after he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the guidance that you give us through your word. And Lord, I just pray right now that you will help us to hear the Holy Spirit today as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us through your word. Lord, may you teach us today. May you encourage us along this journey that we are taking. Lord, as I write just about every day, give us strength for the journey that lies ahead. And Lord, help our faith not to waver, particularly when it comes to critical times in our lives. Lord, today, may we glean from your word. May you speak to our hearts in an incredible way to draw us close to you. Lord, I pray you'll use me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Father, to lift you up that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, I do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, which we just read, this is where we encounter the story of Lazarus, who was a man from Bethany, and he was sick. Now, he had two sisters. Those sisters were Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus, and they had said to him, Lord, the one that you love is sick. So Jesus, when he heard this, declared that the sickness would not end in death, but would serve to glorify God. Now, as we think about that passage, and as we ponder that for just a moment, there's something very interesting that takes place right there, because we know as the story progresses that Lazarus died. Lazarus died and they buried him. And yet Jesus was saying at this particular point to them, this is not a sickness that is going to end in death. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Mary and Martha and those that had heard this, I probably would be scratching my head a little bit at this point saying, look, word has come back that Lazarus is dead. I mean, Jesus knew this. And to prove that point, when Jesus was having this discussion with his disciples, that was one of the things that he said. Jesus said, yeah, he's asleep. And then the disciples are like, well, if he's asleep, yeah, he'll get better. And then finally, Jesus just had to come out and tell his disciples, no, you guys don't understand. Lazarus is dead. Now, if I was a disciple, I'd be sitting back thinking to myself, well, a minute ago, you were saying that this was not a sickness that was going to end in death, but now you're telling me that Lazarus is dead. So you got to bear with the miracles that Jesus does, particularly in our lives today. Because sometimes when we think we've got it all figured out, I've learned in my lifetime that when I think I know what's going on, I generally don't have a clue. So basically what he's told folks is that this is not a sickness that's going to end in death, but he said, rather it is going to serve to glorify God. Now, that's the statement that sets the stage for a divine revelation of Jesus' authority as well as his purpose. Now, despite the urgency, now, if you were Mary and Martha and you sent for Jesus and you knew that your brother, in this case it's Lazarus, is sick unto death, and you send for Jesus, there would be an urgency to that. Obviously, you would want them to come quickly. If I was making a modern day comparison, I would say that if you picked up the phone and maybe you had a loved one that was going into cardiac arrest and you called for an ambulance, you want them to get there as quickly as possible. You want them on the scene to try to tend to and help your loved one. So despite the urgency of this situation, Jesus remained where he was for two more days, okay? Now, this delay was not due to the fact that he was being indifferent, but it was a deliberate act to align with God's timing. One of the things that I've learned in my years of following the Savior is this, that God has a time frame for everything. Most of the time, it's not mine. You know, when I want something, I want it now. I've said many, many times, we live in an instant society. When we want something, we want it right now. Well, that God doesn't always work that way, but there's a reason why he times the things that he times, and how that time frame works out is always, always, always for his honor and for his glory. So his delay was a deliberate act designed to align with the timing of the Father. Now, when Jesus finally decides to go to Bethany, he tells his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep, meaning that he has died, but he intended to wake him. So upon his arrival, Martha meets Jesus and she expresses her belief that if he had been there, Lazarus would not have died. Now, there's some faith in that particular statement. You know, she really believed that. Yeah, Martha believed that, you know what, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And sometimes we tend to do what Martha did. We kind of put parameters on the Father. I've often said this, that prayer knows no boundaries. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. Prayer knows no boundaries. As you pray for somebody, it doesn't matter if they're in another country, if they're across the world, or if they're in your presence or in your backyard. Prayer knows no boundaries. The power of God knows no boundaries. And yet, that was the situation of Martha saying, you know what, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But yet Jesus assures her. He said these words, and I've spoken these words at funeral services many times. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now, you and I would take that verse and we would certainly spiritualize it. And we would sit back and say, okay, well, I understand what that means. It kind of goes hand in hand with for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And I know that when I draw my last breath, I am going to appear in heaven and I'll get to see the Master. And we know that. We look at this as the afterlife. You know, Jesus said, the one who believes in me will live even though he die. Now, this declaration is central to the passage. This reveals that Jesus is the source of both physical as well as eternal life. And most of us don't have any issues or problem believing that. We realize that just life in and of itself is a miracle of God. But yet we also believe that not only is he control of our physical lives, our physical bodies in this day and age, but he is also the source of eternal life, the source of our present being as well as the source of eternal life. So when Jesus saw Mary, you remember this is Martha's sister, when Jesus saw Mary and the others weeping, he was deeply moved and he was troubled. Now, this emotional response highlights his empathy as well as his compassion. Jesus saw how much the two sisters, Mary and Martha, as well as those around, were hurting because they believed at that particular point that they had lost their brother Lazarus. And indeed, Lazarus was dead. And yet, this is one of the two times in the Bible that we read where Jesus wept. Now, I would pose the question to you. Did Jesus know that he could raise Lazarus from the dead? Absolutely. Did he know that was what he was going to do? Absolutely. But yet, seeing the what I would call collateral damage of Lazarus being dead, Jesus was moved with compassion to the point that he wept. Now, I've often used this to let folks know that there is nothing in your life that is going on that hurts you that Jesus does not know about. I believe I have used in the past 29 Bible studies that we've done on the miracles, compassion has been something that has been in the forefront of each and every one of those. So this emotional response highlights Christ's empathy as well as his compassion to Mary and to Martha and those around. Now Jesus then, the scripture tells us, goes to the tomb, and after praying, he called Lazarus to come out. And what happens? Lazarus emerges wrapped in grave clothes. Now it's interesting that I always try to insert myself into these biblical passages and stories and think, well, what would I be thinking if I was watching this take place? And it's often been said too that Jesus called Lazarus by his name, because if he would have just said, come forth from the grave, you know, graves would have been popping up all over the place and people would have been coming out. But he specifically calls Lazarus to come out. I still remember sitting with some pastors one time at a convention, and we were talking about this particular passage, and those in the room were always much smarter than I was, and they said, what's your thought on this particular passage? And for a moment I paused and I said, well, you know what? I said, I kind of feel sorry for Lazarus. And everybody looked at me real strange. And I said, well, because Lazarus had to die twice. He died the first time, Jesus brought him back to life, and then he had to die again. So there's a little country boy logic along the way. So Jesus, he prays, he calls Lazarus, out of the tomb, and he comes out, and it says that he is wrapped in those grave clothes from head to toe. In other words, he walked out in the same regalia that they had wrapped him in and laid him into that tomb. In my book, he was probably almost hopping out a little bit, and it says that his face was covered as well. So what does this tell us? This is a demonstration of the power of Jesus' word over death. That's part of the reason why we pray and we intercede for others, particularly if they're sick or something. We cry out and say, Lord, I'm asking you to touch and heal the body of my brother, my sister. I'm asking you, Father, to do something incredible along the way, believing that he actually can. I like what one of the great deacons of my life and in my ministry over the years used to say. He used to say it like this. He would say, Lord, I know you can. The question is, will you? In other words, what he was praying is, Lord, I know you have the power to do this. Insert whatever. Lord, I know you have the power to heal cancer. Lord, I know you have the power even to bring life back into something that has died. But it needs to be a part of your will. It needs to be to honor and glorify you. So he's saying, Lord, I know you can. The question is, will you? Meaning, Lord, is that in your will for that to happen? Because obviously we want to pray the Father's will. And that's something that we've learned. Many of us know. We learned it as children, and we even know it as adults. I want you to consider for just a moment the Lord's Prayer. You know, and when you say, when we get to that part where it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What you are saying is, Lord, I know you have a will for what's going on. I know you have purpose. I know you have plan. But Lord, I am praying that the healing of this brother is part of your will, is part of your plan. Help me walk close enough to see what your will and what your plan might be. You know, I've often tried to illustrate it like this. You know, imagine, you know, a dark sealed tomb, you know, a place of hopelessness and a place of finality. That's the way we view it here on earth. Yet with a simple command, Lazarus, come out. Life triumphs over death. Now, this miracle serves as a very powerful illustration of Jesus' authority and his ability to bring life where there seems to be none. You know, consider a withered plant that appears to be dead. You know, when I read this passage, I often think about what it was like back years and years ago. I, you know, was actually planting some shrubberies on a construction project for a contractor. And I was doing it the hard way. I'd, you know, take a shovel and, you know, go around, you know, pop a hole in there, then take the little shrubbery out of the pot, stick it down in there. And there were a few of them that to me looked like they were completely dead. Matter of fact, I didn't plant them. I actually took them to the contractor and said, look, I didn't plant these because they're dead. And the contractor agreed with me. He said, not a problem whatsoever. He said, you can just throw them away. Well, I didn't throw them away. I brought them home and I planted those shrubberies. And man, let me tell you something. As the years passed by, they became some of the greenest, fastest growing shrubberies that were in my yard. It got to the point where they were so out of control with growth that I had to cut them down, and they started over once again growing. You know, with the right care, with water and sunlight, that plant was revived, it flourished. It not only survived, it flourished. Similarly, Jesus provides the spiritual nourishment and the light that is needed to revive our soul and to bring us back to life, okay? Well, let me give you a couple of practical applications, because like we've said so many times, it's not good enough just to have head knowledge. We need to be able to take what we learn and apply it to our hearts and our lives that we may walk closer to the Lord. So here are a couple of things that I want to give you that this passage really highlights and brings out that we can apply to our lives. Number one is that we need to trust in God's timing. Just as Jesus' delay in this scripture was purposeful, we must trust that God's timing in our lives is perfect, even when it seems delayed, even when it seems like we just want relief so bad. Trust in God's timing. Number two, we need to believe in Jesus' power. See, Jesus declares himself as the resurrection and the life. We must place our faith in his power to transform and to renew us both physically as well as spiritually. Number three, we need to embrace compassion. Yeah, Jesus wept. Again, one of the two times in the Word that we read that Jesus wept. Jesus wept with those who mourned. We are called to show sympathy, empathy, and compassion to those that are around us. And we're called to share in their joys as well as in their sorrows. Is that something that we are doing? Does compassion drive you to a goal or to a purpose in the hearts and the lives of the people you see? Listen, most of us would sit back and say, we really, really hate to see a loved one suffer. We hate to see them hurt. And you know, sometimes we sit back and say there's not a thing that we can do about it. But listen, we know the one who can do something about it. And obviously we can lift them in prayer. All right. Number four, we need to live a resurrected life. Just as Lazarus was called out of the tomb, we are called to live a life that reflects the new life we have in Christ, free from the bondage of sin. Four quick practical things that we can draw from this particular passage. So in summary, the raising of Lazarus from the dead is a testament to Jesus' divine authority and his deep love for humanity. It challenges us to trust in His timing, to believe in His power, and to live a life that reflects His resurrection. Okay? What can we do about that? As we've gleaned answers from the Word today, let us commit ourselves and challenge ourselves to live a life with the assurance that Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life. May we trust Him in every circumstance of our lives, knowing that He holds the power to bring life and hope in each and every situation, no matter what that may be. You may be going through some tough stuff right now, but Jesus is the one who holds the answer. Today, I want you to be encouraged, folks, that no matter how dark or how hopeless a situation may seem, Jesus has the power to bring life and transformation. He is with us, sharing in our struggles and sharing in our triumphs and calling us to a life of purpose and a life of joy. Will you do that? Will you accept that challenge today? I hope and pray that you will. Before I close us in a word of prayer for our Bible study today, I want to tell you what we've got going on for next week. I believe next week is the last and 30th series in our Miracles of the Messiah. Then we'll be heading into the holidays, and at the first of the year, we're actually going to begin a new series, and I'll let you know a little bit about that next week. But your reading for this week, I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And next week, we will look at our 30th and final sermon on the miracles of the Master, titled The Resurrection of Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. So I hope, trust, and pray that you will spend some time in those particular passages and that you will be studied up and ready to go as we gather around God's Word next Wednesday. So would you pray with me as we close our time together today? Our Father, we thank You so much for the incredible demonstration of Your power and Your love through the passage that we have read today and the raising of Lazarus. Lord, I pray that You will help us to trust in Your timing. Lord, that's difficult for us at times, but help us, Father, to trust in Your timing. Lord, help us to believe in Your power and to live lives that reflect the new life that You have given us in Christ. Lord, I pray that You will fill us with compassion for others, and Lord, and the courage to share the hope that we have in You. And Lord, I do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. All of our information is on the website that you see listed there on your screen. If it's not there right now, it's www.oakridgecbc.org. And also, we want to invite you to join us as we gather together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. We also have discipleship opportunities for men, for women. We have discipleship for our kids. Got the Awana program. Got all kinds of things that are going on. We would love to have you join us. Our service time starts at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you there. God bless. Have a great week. Thank you.